Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Skip LaCour, and welcome to my weekly radio talk show on bodybuilding, training, and actually anything you want to talk about when it comes to your health, fitness, training, bodybuilding efforts. Welcome to this inaugural show. For those of you who aren't familiar with who I am, my name is Skip LaCour. I've been training for 18 years and pretty much hardcore from the very beginning. My first competition was just 13 months after training, so I've been pretty much committed and dedicated with that bodybuilding focused lifestyle in a focused manner. I entered my first show, like I said, after just 13 months of training, and it's been all out focus and dedication from there. I've been a writer for the various muscle magazines for over 14 years now, sharing my passion for training and the information that I've gathered all along the way, passing that along through all the different writing. I started on the website. I got a presence there over 12 years ago, and I feel that literally thousands of questions from bodybuilders, fitness enthusiasts all over the world in that time period. So I've been very familiar with not only what I've been doing, but translating what my passion for training, my understanding of all the different aspects, the training, the nutrition, the supplementation, and most importantly, the mental aspects, passing that along, sharing it all over the world. But really, if you want to know more about me, you can go to my website at skiplacour.com. Check out the About Me section, because that's not what this show is about. This show isn't about me. Sure, I'll be happy to answer any questions, my experiences, if you want to know about them, if you're interested in that, if it's going to help you out. But this show is about you, and that's where I think that you're going to get the most value out of this. It's strategies to help you take your efforts. And whatever level you're at, it's not important. You don't have to be a competitive bodybuilder to take advantage of this show. You can learn from not only my experiences, the experiences of the other callers at the same time. Now, I want to have your participation, so let me give you the phone number to call on the radio show. It's area code 347-326-9145. That's 347-326-9145. And you can also chat on our live message boards. You can find a great value. I can see what you're saying on there and maybe add dimension to the show, clarify some things that I'm saying. So you can actually, this actually can be quite fun, you participating in the show in various different ways. Now, today I want to pose a question to you. Again, this is about you, about your training efforts. I'm going to ask you where you're at right now with your training. You'll see that we're all at different levels, okay? And then most importantly, what's the next level for you? What's the next level? What's going to get you to that higher effort? What are you struggling for? What are you challenged with? How can I help you best with those? One thing you'll find out about me very quickly is that I have a simple, straightforward approach. I think your mind is your most powerful training tool. And once you get a certain amount of basic fundamental strategies, it's about how you apply those strategies. Now, do I think that there's some methods that are better than most, more effective, more efficient, get you to where you want to be in the shortest period of time with the least amount of effort? I sure do. I have tried a lot of different strategies in my 18 years of focused, dedicated training. And there are a lot of different training styles that I have not tried. So I'll give you my open, honest opinion on what I feel could help you best. Definitely give you the guiding principles to everything, whether it's training, nutrition, how you go about it, how you set that up in your mind. So really, you can take any strategy. If you're comfortable with it, if you like it, you just want to get to the next level, I can help you set that up there. I do not think that there is just one way to get to where you want to go. I think that there are a lot of different factors when it comes in, if you're not enjoying what you do, what you're doing, you're going to not produce the best results. So while I'm going to make you the most effective and the most efficient giving my input there, you'll also find that there are ways to get you where you want to be in a way that you can enjoy the process along the way. Because like I said, if you're not enjoying the process, you're going to have a hard time getting the results that you want. Again, my question is going to be, where are you at right now? And what's the next level for you? How can I help you there? The phone number is 347-326-9145, 347-326-9145. And you can chat online, too. Again, this is Skip LaCour. And let me tell you something here. Here's the danger of doing this a radio talk show when it comes to bodybuilding, fitness, and training. It's going to be boring, 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 boring. Here, I've done seminars all throughout the world when it comes to bodybuilding, fitness, and training. When we come into this environment where we're all together, maybe in a room or over all over the world on a radio talk show, everybody's at different levels. And in my effort to help everyone along, I'm going to have to talk to one person at one level, and I might lose the rest of the whole audience who are at that level or they're not quite at that level. So I have a certain way that I go about answering these questions. When you ask them, I'll answer your question as succinctly and as specifically and as quickly as possible, and then I'll broaden out so the rest of the listening audience can benefit from your question. And we don't necessarily always have to talk about, you know, the basics of training, nutrition, building muscle, losing body fat. If you want to talk about the bodybuilding lifestyle or the disciplined lifestyle, maybe I have to live as a comparison, what things you need to do to organize your life, we could definitely do that. You want to talk about the business of bodybuilding. It's one thing that I get a lot of people coming to my website, sending me emails, and they have a crazy passion for this bodybuilding, fitness, and training. They want to help out others in similar ways that I have, and they want to know how to get started. That's where I can add a lot of value to you, give you my insights there. You can model some of the things that I've done well. Maybe that's brought you here to this radio show here today. And at the same time, I can steer you away from all the mistakes I've made along the way. One thing that I'll just tell you right now, as far as like the gossip in the bodybuilding world, just tell you right now is that where I live, the part of the country, Northern California, I have no access to any of the pro bodybuilders. I don't see them at the gym. I don't run into them. I don't go to the bodybuilding shows. So if you ask me about, hey, what's happening with this guy or that guy or what's he's like in the bodybuilding world, I can tell you right now, please ask me those questions if that's what interests you. The chances are, though, I don't know them, maybe met them once or twice at an expo somewhere, and that's probably about it. I can't speculate on anybody's drug cycles, what they take, what they do, what they don't do. Do I think this or that about another person? Because, again, I don't have a lot of access to that world. My great friend, Special Ed, has a show that could probably interest you there. It's Big Nation Radio, and that's tomorrow night on Blog Radio. So for that aspect of the bodybuilding world, that's your show to go to, and that's tomorrow night. I know that's at 4 o'clock Pacific time, so you can check on the Blog Radio. So with that in mind, I have a caller I'm going to go to right now. Caller, are you there from the 646 area code?
Yes, I'm here.
What's your name and where are you from?
My name is Adam from New Jersey.
Adam.
Eddie.
Eddie, how are you, Eddie?
Yeah.
Hey, thanks for joining the show.
Thank you.
So, Eddie, tell me where you're at right now and what's the next level for you and how can I help you do that?
Well, about 2 years ago, I was 230 pounds, 5'7", pretty much a butterball, and, you know, hit the gym. Now I'm at 195, and
awesome.
I built a lot of muscle,
uh-huh.
But I have that old fat around the chest area,
uh-huh.
And the spare tire.
Okay. How old are you, Eddie? 32. And how long has this process been for you? When did you join the gym and lose all that weight?
2 years.
2 years. Okay.
February of '07, '06.
Okay. And have you been overweight?
'07.
Have you been overweight pretty much your whole life?
Yeah, I mean, you know, started ninth grade, pretty much overweight, yeah.
Cool. Okay. Well, first of all, congratulations. That's an awesome accomplishment. So that's 35 pounds in 2 years, right?
Yeah.
Good, healthy pounds. You've been going to the gym consistently, eating right for those 2 years, too?
Yeah, I mean, my dedication's there. The mental focus is all there. I mean, that's really second to none. Something
right.
must have in my head. I have no idea what, but...
No, that's awesome. And let me ask you a question. I mean, this would be interesting radio for the listeners. Why, after 30 years living a sedentary lifestyle, overweight, not watching what you eat, what was it that got you to go to that gym and then become focused and dedicated for those 2 years?
Well, I was smoking cigarettes.
Uh-huh.
I quit that. But, you know, at the end of the day, I was coming home, driving home, feeling tightness in my chest.
Ah, I see.
You know, and just the feeling that, you know, you're getting older and you feel that, you know, you're really damaging yourself.
So there's
one
particular moment where, you know, your health scare really just woke you up?
Yeah, it was one time. Yeah, it was just one time. And like, there, I mean, a couple times happened, but something just clicked. It was just like, all right, this is the time. Like, I've lost weight. Like,
uh-huh.
every 3 to 4 years, I would lose 30 pounds.
Right, awesome. Uh-huh.
You know, and then I would gain it back.
Right, right.
You know, but now I'm at the point where I went to the gym, you know, hitting the cardio, dropping the weight, feeling good, looking good, seeing the pumps, and then that's it. Now you're just chasing, every time, you know, you go to the gym, you're just chasing that, you know, that feeling. It's like my
right.
own little sanctuary, you know?
Well, Eddie, this is going to stick for you. I can hear it in your voice. Let me just share with you and us other listeners is I didn't even start training consistently in the gym like you're doing right now until I was 27 years old. I myself,
really?
You know, I played sports all through college in my early 20s, and I would join a gym. I joined a gym, paid all my membership fee, went through all the hoopla and all the hype.
Right.
Went for about 2 weeks, and I quit. I probably did that about three times. When I actually did join a gym at 27, I had that same anxiety, that same angst that I was going to quit this time too. But something was different for me, and it stuck. And then here we are right now, 18 years later, talking to you. So this is going to really stick for you. Going back to your question now, what you've done is awesome. I'm sure you feel a lot better. You look a lot better. Yeah. And I could just tell the confidence, the certainty, the power in your voice that you're going to stick with it.
Right.
And that's what you're going to need to do. Unfortunately, or fortunately, because let me just tell you this, you know, 10 years from now when you have been going to the gym for 12 years consistently, and just say you have a couple bad weeks, right?
Right.
Or you kind of focus on your business or family, and maybe you're not so consistent as you are now,
mm-hmm.
all that muscle mass, and that metabolism that you've worked so hard for, it's just not going to go away all of a sudden. You're going to have what's called critical mass. You're going to have some momentum. So you're not going to lose it so quickly because of all the 12 years at that time you would have put into it. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Okay. Now, at the same time, you haven't been taking care of your body for 30 years, and
right.
now you have for 2 years. Okay.
Right.
You know, it's just the way that it works, and you know, like I said, it's a good thing or a bad thing, depending on how you've had it working for you. And it's
right.
just going to take some time for the body to change. 2 years really isn't a long period of time. You know, Eddie, how long has it been since you've been out of high school now?
ten, about 14 years.
Exactly. Now, that time has just flown by, hasn't it?
Oh, my God, forget it. I mean,
right?
I was watching Ultimate Fighting last night, And they're showing the age of these guys, and I'm hanging out with my friends, and I'm saying, that guy looks older than 31. And everybody I look at, like, at 30 and 28, they look older. And then we look at each other and says, I think it's just us. We don't realize how old we are.
Well, it's everybody but us, Eddie, just you and me and who we're sitting with. We look right. younger for our age, right?
Right.
You know, that, you brought up some good topic. I'm going to segue. I have this Man Formation talk show that's just a really cool talk show. It's going to be a weekly show. And those type of man issues, those sentiments you're talking about, we talk about all those type of things. It's Saturday mornings, the Man Formation talk show here on Blog Talk Radio. So, so basically what I'm saying is that those 14 years since high school, they have just flown by. So what's 2 years in the big picture? Okay, it's good enough to lose 35 pounds, get you looking good and feeling great. Although it's going to be, you know, what I say is that the body fat, the tough spots, the first place that it goes on is the last place it goes off. And so it's just going to take more time, more discipline. It will come off. It's just you got to give yourself much time. Focus on what you've accomplished. You know, keep on striving for that higher level that you're going for, but just be patient and keep on doing the things you do. It sounds like you're doing what you need to do. One caution that I would say for most people who are struggling with body fat, that last bit, maybe a lot of times it's if they are consistent with their eating habits, and I'm going to talk on this segment, other segments about working hard and what that means to you, what your standards are. And maybe not for the show purposes, it sounds like you're dedicated and focused. You have a standard that you've set for what eating well is for you. You know, when it comes to losing the body fat, you know that at least 80% of it is how you eat. And it's not just the food you eat and don't eat. It's how you regulate that metabolism with your smaller, more frequent meals, too.
Right.
That's what gets the metabolism running efficiently, effectively, and
I'm eating every couple of hours, few hours. I'm watching what I eat. I'm getting my protein. I'm coming to work, my big thermos with my protein, you know, drink. And it's just like, I'm like a turtle, man. It just taking so long. You know, otherwise, I just really, maybe I don't realize it. You know how, like, sometimes, you know, because it's you, you don't realize how you look, whereas other people can really see the change.
Right. Yeah, you know, I always, that's a good point, is so many of us, whether it's in the gym, with our bodies, different aspects of our life, if we're not keeping record of what we're doing, if we're not assessing, if we're not monitoring it in some way, we can be really losing the game, so to speak. We can be really winning the game, but we think that we're losing, okay, because we have no track record. And maybe sometimes we catch ourselves in the mirror and we kind of have that moment of appreciation. I would suggest, Eddie, that you take some pictures. Just take some pictures or go through some old pictures so you can really appreciate how far you've come. So that, you know, every moment you can just live in the moment and live power. Like, look, I'm 35 pounds lighter. I love what I'm doing. I've been consistent for 2 years, and I'm not stopping now.
Right.
You know, Eddie, there's people who are in a lot worse shape than you who aren't as disciplined with their eating, with their training. They don't even know what they're doing, but are probably walking around a lot more happier and satisfied than you are.
Right.
You know,
I could never be one of those people ever again. I mean, I look at them and I'm like, you know, you're like, you know, just you can I could never go back to that. I would never let myself go back to that.
Well, and you know, I want you guys to join in on the call. Again, the phone number is area code 347-326-9145, 347-326-9145. And you can also chat online. I see we have quite a few people in our chat room. You will need to log in and create a free account so that you can chat with us. Eddie, what I was talking about is enjoying where you are right now. I can't tell you how many people, how many guys, as I've been traveling around the country, around the world, I mean, they have these amazing physiques. They've worked really hard. They put in their time. They know what they're doing. And they walk around like very meek, and you can tell they have no clue on what they've accomplished. And then at the same time, I always joke around. I remember this one time where I was in this Sizzler restaurant, and this guy, he was skinny, had this little skinny tank top on. It didn't even look like he worked out. That guy walked, he was as proud as a peacock walking around, very proud of his body. Now, and but the lesson that I took from that is, does it really matter how much muscle you have or how much body fat you have? What really matters is what's going on in your head, what you think of yourself, okay? So my point is, if you're walking around dedicated, focused, having a passion for what you do, 2 years dedicated, you lost 35 pounds, and you're going, oh, I'm not good enough. Oh, what can I do? You're not enjoying the moment. You know, then
no, yeah. You know why? When I'm in the gym and I take the NO, and I just got the Muscle Tech NANO, the new one.
Right.
When I'm in the gym, man, I'm happy.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I'm pumped. I look, you know, 10 times better. And then, you know, it just, you know, when you're in the gym and you're pumped, you see it.
Right,
you know,
right.
And then
when
you come home a little bit later, you know, you don't have to pump anymore, you know?
Yeah, and I would say that's just how you use your mind, how you appreciate what you do. It's not any supplement that you're taking. It's just that you're taking action at that moment. You probably, it's a mental thing. You're linking it to the supplement. You're linking it to the gym. But it's really the way you're choosing to look at it. And what I was saying is you can choose to look at that any moment of the day. Because there are times when you are at home, maybe it's after a meal, maybe it's when you walk past the mirror at a certain time, you do have those same feelings of power when you're not in the gym, am I right?
Oh, yeah. Sometimes I throw a little flex up in the mirror.
Well, I think we've all done that once or twice. Hey, guys, who are listening, right? Nobody looking, maybe, huh? No, but see, that's great. There's nothing wrong with that. Next time that happens, what you should do is, what are you thinking about? What's your mind focusing on in that moment in time? Because it's a lot of times it's that same image in the mirror. The same one when you're in the gym, same one when you're feeling down. The same image is in the mirror when you're feeling all proud and happy feeling so.
I mean, I'm 195. I'm only like 5'7", 195. So I'm pretty. You know, everything is pretty well, you know, getting developed.
Right.
You know, it's just that I have that half inch, you know, that pinch of fat around pretty much everything. So it's like, it's harder for me to see it, you know, to actually see the muscle.
Right.
You know what
I
mean?
Right. Yeah. What I was saying with your diet, and for another time, maybe shoot me an email. We can talk about your specific diet. One of the other challenges when people are in your position where they've had a lot of progress, and then they come to that sticking point, sometimes it's not eating fewer calories. Sometimes what you need to do is get your metabolism to work harder, faster, and more efficiently by eating more clean food in those every meals that you eat. Sounds like you're eating the right foods, you're eating the smaller, more frequent meals, you're eating every 2 hours, and now the body fat's sticking. See, this is how it works with body fat, is that our body needs it. It's a survival mechanism. Your body needs more the body fat than it needs the muscle. So it's not going to just lose it all. Hey, I want to go on a diet. Heck, I'm going to walk on a treadmill for 18 hours a day, and I'm just going to hurry up and get rid of this body fat that I've had for the last, you know, 30 years. It's not going to work that way.
Right.
That's why you have to be intelligent in your approach. And like I said, the eating the clean food, eating the smaller, more frequent meals. In addition to that, it all gets that metabolism revving. Of course, exercise, weight training, cardio, vascular training, they play their part in that, okay? But again, 80% at least is the nutritional habits. Okay, so you've eaten the right foods, you've eaten in 2 hours a day. How do we get that metabolism to kick up? So we can tell our bodies, look, I am feeding you so much of the right foods so consistently. Hey, you're gonna trick it. You're gonna persuade it. You know? You're gonna to lose the body fat, and that's how you do it. And you do it for a week, you do it for a month, you do it for a year, and slowly but surely you're gonna trick it into saying, hey, I don't need this body fat. I get fed frequently in the right food so often I can get rid of it. So it's through consistency. So eating more food may be something you want to try. That I would say bump that up as much as, you know, 25% in calories for a while of that clean food. And let me tell you something. This is what you'll find. And for all of you out there who are in this position, eating more of the right foods. You know, the first couple days, if not for the first week, you might think, what am I doing? I can't eat all this food. And then what a strange transformation will happen after that time period. But was once a lot of food, you'll be hungry and anticipating that next
starving.
Meal.
Right. I'm starving. I'm eating, and I get in the car, like in L.A., I'm like, honey, I'm starving. I'm
right.
like I haven't eaten in days.
Yeah.
And,
so, Eddie,
and
I tell you something. I tell you, for you, if you're feeling that way, you need to bump up your calories. You need to add about 25% more food to each one of those meals and watch the body fat start melting away more quickly and efficiently. Does that
really
sound good?
Yeah.
You have any other questions while you're out? How can I help you take yourself to the next level? How's everything else going?
Well, okay. Well, for the first year of working out, I was overtraining. I was doing the basic traditional exercises. I wasn't really switching them up, but I started a strength workout about 6 weeks ago, where every other day, like three days a week, I go in the gym. I do stand up military presses.
Uh huh.
I do two sets for 15 reps. Two sets for 12 reps. Then do bent over rows with the barbell.
Okay. Now, Eddie, I'm gonna hurry you along. Remember what I was saying at the beginning of this show, is that the danger of this show is that we lose all the rest of the audience if we get too specific. Okay. So what about your training routine are you looking for that to take you to the next level? How can I help you with that?
Okay. Form and weight.
Uh-huh.
Difference between too much weight and
right.
not the right form.
No, that's a great question. I get asked that all the time. With the max OT training, it's a lot of heavy overload training because the quickest, most efficient way to build muscle is to overload it with the heaviest weight. So, but it's worthless if you're going to get injured because you're using too weight or you're not hitting the muscle directly. So if you go to any gym, any personal trainer, for a lot of different reasons, they'll really emphasize form. You see it on the any type of exercise chat rooms, they talk about form, and people are proud of the form that they use.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about overloading the muscle. So whatever way that it takes to overload the muscle with the heaviest weight directly is going to build that muscle in the shortest, most efficient manner. Okay. So when I talk about form, I'm talking about effectiveness. Form isn't like strict form, like if I took a video of you that you would get 100% approval from every person in the gym. That's not what you're after. You don't care what other people think, okay? Because the safest, most effective route to, to be accepted by all your friends and every personal trainer in the gym is to just keep everything rigid. Here's the thing is there's a value between execution, which is, again, hitting that muscle with the most weight, and sloppy form, okay? There is a value in between because you don't necessarily need the most perfect form to overload the muscle. Okay, you do have to hit it directly and you can't get yourself hurt. All right? So you need to find that value. Here's the thing about experimenting with that. If you just were so focused on form, okay? And let's just say, you had a 30-pound dumbbell with a particular weight that you're using. If form was your major concern and not muscle overload, okay, you're going to have a hard time progressing past that 30 pounds. See, with everything in life that we do, when we start something new, when we go to that newer, higher level, we're not going to be good at it. Our form, so to speak, in any area of our life is not going to be good. Okay, we're going to be awkward, we're going to be clumsy, but it's going through, persevering for that awkward, clumsy stage that we'll get more finesse. We'll have better form. You get what I'm saying there, Eddie?
Right.
When it comes to going to the next level, when you pick up that 40-pound dumbbell, progressing from 30, you're not going to have the best form in the world. It's not going to be necessarily horrible. I'm not talking about going too high up the rack with weight that you're struggling too much. But 40, you'll be able to handle it, maybe not with the best form. Question is how are you going to ever develop that form with 40 pounds unless you try to do that 40 pounds. If you stay where you are as far as concentrating on strict form, you'll never even try it. I say go to the heavier weight. Don't get yourself hurt. Concentrating on hitting the muscle directly. Give yourself some time to adjust to that weight, and pretty soon you'll be executing. You'll be having great form with that heavier 40-pound dumbbell, the same form that you had at 30 pounds. But it's going to take some time of adjustment. Before you know it, 6 months later, you're at 50 pounds. So That's the progression. Again, make sure you're hitting the tendon muscle group. Make sure you're not swinging too much. Make sure you're not going to get yourself hurt, but try. Go through that uncomfortable stage where your form isn't so great. Go ahead.
Does all the muscles, like if I do a workout and I don't feel sore the next day in my back, does that mean I didn't hit the muscle properly?
Okay, well, let me ask you a question. Is your first day in the gym, when you didn't know what you were doing, were you sore the next day?
Yeah.
Okay. So what if you had, 32 consecutive great workouts? Do you think you'll be sore after the 32nd workout, or more sore after that first workout, your first day in the gym?
More sore after the first workout.
Okay, obviously your body is more suited. It's benefited. You're probably more effective at what you're doing after that 32nd workout. You're a lot better at what you're doing than that first workout, aren't you?
Right.
Yet you're a lot more sore after that first workout, okay?
Right.
So, your body's going to adapt. It's not going to feel the same soreness, because if soreness is what you're after, just train once every 3 weeks. And, boy, I'll tell you, you'll be walking out of that gym feeling sore all the time. Of course, your body's going to adapt. Your body's going to adapt. Some workouts will be better than others. Some will take longer to recover. A lot of times that has more to do with how your body's recovering as far as factors of eating and things like that. So, no, muscle soreness is not a good indicator of what an efficient workout is. It's always good to feel that. You feel you had a little reward and some little proof that you had a great workout. It's not necessarily always the case.
Okay, good.
Yeah, so just make sure that you're taking records in the gym, that you're progressing, that you're at least hitting as many reps with the same weight as last week, if not getting one more, that, you're focused and dedicated, whatever that means to you in the gym. You're knocking out your workouts, you're eating. Those are better indicators. Those are more tangible ways of recording your progress rather than if you're sore or not in the gym, okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right?
Okay.
All right, Eddie. Hey, thanks a lot for your call. Anyone else want to join us on the conversation? Area code 347-326-9145. It's 347-326-9145. You can also chat in the chat room. I see that we have a lot of people in the chat room right now. Hey, guys, why don't you give us a call and join in the conversation? Now we have some talks about supplements, Max OT. Training, a lot of different supplements. Let's see. So joining the conversation, what I want to know is, and this will be interesting for everybody, is where you see yourself now. Where are you at right now? And then what is the next level for you? One thing that no matter what level you're at, I think this show will be valuable to anyone who is listening. And the reason why is that learning from other people's experience and also sharing what you've learned, how do I answer these questions? Does that make sense to you? Will that help you as you help other people? How these questions are formed will help you answer other people's questions and share your passion. I think what's really helped me along is when I stepped up and became a leader and a teacher in this area, it really enhanced my efforts because I had to think a lot more about what I was doing. Okay, we've got a call in from the 610 area code. Caller, are you there? Caller from the 610 area code, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. What's your name and where are you from?
My name's Albert Romanelli. I'm from Downingtown, Pennsylvania.
All right. And it was Albert?
Yeah, Al.
Al. Okay, Al. Awesome. So where are you at right now, and what's the next level for you?
I've been training for 25 years.
Uh-huh.
I'm turning 40 at the end of the month, and I'm in the best shape of my life.
Awesome.
Really, really tweaked things over the last 7-8 years to get myself to a point where, I'm even surprised at my progress.
Awesome.
But I have a few questions.
40 years old, you're just coming into your power, right? That's what you're finding out.
Absolutely. I'm in the best shape of my life.
It's
because of my diet. I mean, my undergraduate degree is in exercise phys. I mean, I've always had the training under control, but now the diet is really spot on, and it's real easy. I'm always looking for ways to improve.
Awesome.
And that's why I'm calling you today. Few questions.
Sure.
My body fat right now, I've figured out a way to keep my body fat around 8% all year long. I pretty much follow a low carb diet. I'm very carb sensitive. I noticed even when I eat the good carbs, I get a tendency to get kind of thick.
Right.
I'm only 5'6", and I'll get up to 190. I mean, I'm hard as a rock, but I it doesn't look great. But I feel more comfortable keeping it low carb throughout the year and doing some cardio throughout the year and staying around 170 and staying really nice and lean. But the one question I have, I have two questions. I'm following the low carb, and I stay away from refined carbs. After I work out, I'm still old school. I still, maltodextrin and 40 grams of whey.
Uh-huh.
I'm coming across a lot of these guys, like Rob Fagan's Natural Hormonal Enhancement book. I read that. And Dave Palumbo. They're of the belief that even after you get done working out, go with some whey and go with some fat, monounsaturated fat, if you're in a fat burning mode. And I'm thinking, man, what a cortisol explosion if I approach it that way. I'm afraid to do it. I mean,
yeah. Well, let me I'm going to open this up to a couple of things that you said where all the callers can benefit from this too. A couple of things. You talk about being carb sensitive, okay? And, that means different things to different people, right? I think, in general, most people are sensitive to carbs. It's just how many carbs they're eating and how sensitive they are. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. Sure.
Right. Staying away from the complex carbohydrates, substituting that with low glycemic, like vegetables, and replacing those. I mean, those are great ways to keep those body fat levels, get your body burning more efficiently. Some things you probably have already talked about. Now, when it comes to, different strategies, there's a lot of ways to do this. You can burn body fat, and you can burn body fat and preserve muscle at the same time. That's where the art comes in. Does that make sense to you?
Sure does. I've gotten to that point in certain points of my training.
Right. Now, if you wanted to go on an all-out assault and lose as much body fat and you weren't too concerned about how much muscle you lost, you could do that. You could do that probably no problem. It's the art of doing them both at the same time. When it comes to my my post-workout, I take the high glycemic carbohydrates and the whey protein, get my insulin levels up, push that protein in, start the recovery process, immediately. But it's not really much what I do after my workout. More, it's pretty much over the long haul, over the week, over the month, over the year. It's what you do those other 23 hours a day that's going to make the biggest difference. And as far as trying different strategies, in my years, I've tried a lot of different things. I've come down to different ways that I definitely believe are the most efficient ways with the amount of personal experience I have a lot of resources available to me at AST Sports Science and Paul Cribb, his research that he's done. And actually, it's worked for me in a real-world setting, not only in my everyday life, but also during my competition days. At the same time, though, if I were just to give you a set of strategies and tell you to do this, you might achieve great results. And at the same time, you might not appreciate those results that you're getting. And therefore, I hear a little bit of frustration in your voice. And, you know, I don't know your circumstances. You might be doing awesome, especially compared to other 40-year-olds, especially compared to anybody else in your gym, especially compared to you where you were 10 years ago. It's about you appreciating what you're doing. Sometimes, how about for a couple weeks trying that strategy? Because obviously, our brains have a way of disqualifying all the information that doesn't interest us. Okay, does that make sense,
Sure.
Al? Okay.
Sure.
You know, that those philosophies that you talked about that post-workout eating strategy, it must have interested you in some way or you wouldn't have learned about it. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's the only time when I would take in some refined carbs. I mean, the rest
okay.
of the day is a half a cup of oatmeal, and then the other meals are, you know, a big helping of broccoli or a big helping of salad. And then, of course, every third day, I do a minor carb up with some beans. And then then I go another 3 days, and then I do my all out.
Right. Well,
you know,
your strategy.
You blow it out.
Yeah, the strategy that you've come up with has worked for you. And what's this show where we're talking about how to get to the next level? And I'm here to help you take those other strategies. So reinforcing what you already know that has worked for you, you're just going to get more of the same, even though they're great results.
Right.
You're
and that's,
for that
why
next level.
That's why I'm following you, because I'm
right.
thinking. You know, this summer, you know, if I want to go to the next level of leanness, maybe I try, you know, after
exactly.
I get done working out, to go with, you know, the no carbs and go with fat and see where that takes me. You know, I'm considering
that. No, that's a great move on your part. Again, we talked to Eddie in New Jersey on the last call, and I asked him how long has it been since you graduated from high school and how the years passed by. I mean, what's the investment of, you know, 1 month of trying a new strategy in the big picture?
Right.
My only
concern is about a year ago, I just got done getting over like an overtraining syndrome. So now I really understand that, you know, I train every other day now, and
uh-huh.
I feel great. I mean, my God, it took me a long time to figure that one out, but now I don't
yeah,
have any
the
problem.
The overtraining thing is something that, with enthusiasm and passion, it sometimes takes a long time to figure out. Unfortunately or fortunately, as many people don't get to the 5-year training point to really kind of understand that process. The overtraining takes a long time because most people think that more is better. And I'm not just necessarily talking to you right now, Al. I'm talking to our audience. That more isn't definitely better, yet if you don't do more, if you're not passionate, you're never going to make it to the 5-year point to even have that point of comparison. You're going to join the gym, quit. You're going to do it for a year or so and quit. So overtraining means nothing to those people because they don't have enough time to compare and contrast. So
right.
you talked about you just got overtraining and your fear of trying a new strategy is exactly what?
Well, with the overtraining syndrome, I dealt with that for like 9 months after it hit me, you know. I mean, it took
right.
me a while to get my axis back into where, you know, I felt good and could recover from workouts. And now I go every other day. I feel fantastic.
And you were talking about your apprehension, your fear of trying.
Well, it was because
strategy.
Of the carb. I know the carbs keep the cortisol low after the workout. And I was
okay.
thinking, okay, you know, that's my approach, you know. And I also
right.
put in like 5 to 10 BCAAs in there.
Right.
But I was afraid that I would have cortisol problems after
sure.
the workout because I've felt that before. But the
okay.
one thing I noticed is as soon as my sleep gets disrupted, then I back off. That's my number one indicator to overtraining. But that's why I was a little nervous of going no carb
right.
after working out because I was
you
afraid.
Know, a lot of times, you know, it's like I use this analogy. If you had a 16-year-old kid, child, you had a boy, right, and you gave him a BMW for his 16th birthday. And that was the greatest car in the world. All his friends, heck, all his friends' parents would say, wow, what an awesome car you have, right? That kid would have no reference about how great that car is. He would say, yeah, I guess it's a great car. But he would never really know. A lot different if he started with a beat-up old Chevy truck and then graduated to the BMW. Why? Because he would be able to compare and contrast. Okay, right now you might have the best strategy that's working for you, although you don't necessarily have the certainty, and your mind's kind of wandering if there's a better strategy out there for you. Okay, this is where trying a new strategy, even for a couple months, even if your cortisol levels were to go through the roof or whatever, you would get that comparison between the Chevy truck and the BMW. So right when you sit your butt back in the BMW, you would have a lot more certainty and confidence than you have right now. So
yeah,
a two-week or a two-month experience trying that different strategy, whether that's in the gym or eating for anyone else who's listening, you coming back to what you've already been doing, you'll hit it a lot harder with a lot more certainty and confidence and enjoy the process a lot more along the way. So I say, don't worry about the cortisol levels. You're not going to kill yourself. Nothing terrible is going to happen. And that reference point that you have, will either you either found a new strategy, you learned, you had more information to make better decisions to lead you to that next level, or you've come right back to what you're doing right now. But this time, boom, 100% focused on it. So the next call you make to this show, it won't be about this. It'll be about the next thing, because this particular challenge would be satisfied in your mind because you compared it and contrast. So for you, Al, and for anyone else, it's try out those different strategies. Yeah, give it a shot. Don't look at the big picture.
Do you think it's a sound strategy, though, to, after your workout to forgo that the carbs?
Okay, one thing that, again, this is our first show here, and I'm going to be open and honest. I'm going to just tell you, I can tell you different ways. I believe there are certain strategies that work. And at the same time, if I have not tried a particular strategy, I'm not going to sit here and theorize, you know, all the time, you know, why I don't think it would work without me trying it. Okay.
Have you tried it?
I have not. I have not.
Okay.
I can tell
you're still old school. See, I'm playing around with this.
Let me give you a little bit more my experience over the last 18 years. Okay. Is that, you know, when I first talk about old school, really old school, you didn't eat before your workouts, and you really didn't eat after your workouts. It was, especially when you're competing for a contest. So, you know, going to those extreme measures, I mean, they worked for a certain extent. Was that the best way to hold on to as much muscle while losing the body fat at the same time? No. It wasn't. I think you need to feed your body before and after your workout. It's what you do those other feedings, those other 23 hours a day, that's going to make the biggest difference in the world. What you'll do is you'll be able to fuel your workout and replenish it immediately afterwards. That's what I think the best strategy is, with what it needs at that particular time. Muscle, protein is muscle, muscle is protein. And what you need to do is you need to help that recovery process as soon as possible by bracketing, by feeding the muscles before and after, and raising your insulin levels with a glucose will help push that protein into the muscles before and after the workout. So that's what I found to be the right strategy. But as far as just the fat, no, not that particular strategy, and I haven't dedicated my mind to it with the certainty and confidence to really give it a shot. So I say you try it, and then you come back on the show, and you tell us what you think, okay? Does that sound
right.
Good?
Right. That sounds good, man.
All right, Al. Hey, thanks a lot for calling. I have another caller on the line. Caller, are you
appreciate
there?
Appreciate your time.
All right, Al. You have another caller on the line? Oh, hey, how you doing? Caller.
Hey there. This is Jason. Are you speaking to me?
Yes, I am. Jason, how are you, sir?
Terrific. How are you?
I am awesome. Thank you. Jason? All right, we lost Jason. Jason, call back in. call back in, Jason. We kind of dropped you off the call here. We've got a few minutes left here. Anyone else wants to chat in on the line or give us a call at 347-326-9145. You can chat online as well. Okay, we got another call. This is from the 973 area code. Caller, are you there?
Yeah, this is Jason again. Somehow
hey,
I got
Jason.
Cut off.
How are you, sir?
Good, thanks. Yeah, I have two quick questions. First of all, I started working out again about a year ago and doing a lot of the heavy weights, and I got your DVDs and everything. They've helped tremendously. It took about, I'd say, about 6 months before I really started seeing a difference. But between more with work going on and going back to school and things like that, I really just have not, in the past 4 or 5 months, had time to go to the gym nearly as much as I wanted to.
Sure. Uh-huh.
So I took the plunge and I got myself a home gym, and I was wondering, in your opinion, can you get as good a workout with a home gym
okay.
as you can with, you know, going to a gym?
Yeah, no, that's an awesome question, and if someone at on any level, they can benefit from a question like that. Well, let me ask you this. If you train every single day or you're a regimented workout for 1 month with that home gym, do you think that would be better with that consistency, that effort that you put in? Was it better than what you put in the last 3 months in the gym?
Well, I just got the home gym recently
right.
in the past two
well,
weeks.
But my question is that if you consistently use the home gym and you don't have the time to go to your regular commercial gym,
mm-hmm.
then obviously the one that's more convenient, doing anything is better than doing nothing, being in
oh, sure,
consistent.
Sure.
You know, let's keep it simple. On a physical standpoint, it's overloading the muscle. Whether you use a commercial gym, whether you use a home gym, whether you use bricks or bags of sand, right? It's overloading the muscle and it's eating properly. That's what exercise is, no matter how you do it. If
right.
that works best for you, there's some great home gyms that are going to stimulate the muscle in the manner that we talked about. Now, again, if you could bring that same focus and dedication to a commercial gym, then you could get, I think it's just better results for a lot of different reasons. You'll get better results in a commercial gym. A lot more variety, a lot more expensive, efficient equipment, whether it's free weights or machines. The power of influence. I think that there's a lot of people out there who have home gyms. They have exercise bikes that make great clothes racks these days because they're not using them. Okay, that's not going to happen with you, I'm sure. Okay, but what I found out is when you have to get your butt out of your chair, you have to get in your car and you drive, you've got that power of influence. You get to that environment of people who are just like you, who are training in the gym. There's added dimensions of stimulation, mental stimulation, societal stimulation. It helps you follow through, but those are all mental factors, okay?
Right.
A combination of mental factors, emotional factors, and, you know, the equipment factors, a commercial gym would probably be the best. At the same time, you can get a great workout with a home gym, especially if you back it up with eating right.
Yeah, I mean, I've been definitely trying to eat right, and that's part of my second question. The dedication as far as when I go downstairs to the basement, it's definitely as much, if maybe not a little bit better, because I don't
okay.
have all the kiddies, you know, running around me, you know, trying to, you know, do 10 sets of 10 and wasting all the time on the machines and things along those lines. So I think so. And the one I got, you know, I got one of those, the PowerTech workbench, so it's the leverage, which I think works very well, as opposed to like a band thing or some silly stuff like that.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. Okay, so real quickly, so the second question is, you know, during the day, maybe you can just give me your opinion. You know, I'm very busy during the day.
Right.
What kind of eating strategies could you recommend for somebody who's busy? You know, during the day, I can control dinner. I can control breakfast, no problem. Oh,
yeah.
But, you know, during the day and lunch is really where it gets tough.
Okay, awesome. Good question. First of all, make sure that you control that breakfast and you can control that dinner. If you're so busy and you're challenged, you have no wiggle room there. You have
right.
to make those absolute musts, because those are going to be two of your meals for the day, all right? What I say is that if you can get up just maybe 30 minutes earlier in the morning, or get some help and pack a lunch, just some chicken breasts, just cook them on a George Foreman grill, throw some vegetables, do whatever in the containers, carry them around with you, at least one meal, okay?
Mm-hmm.
One real meal, real food meal. Take that along with you. If you could just have that one meal. See, now you've got three prepared meals, no matter how busy you are, okay? And then the other strategy that I would say is that bring some Nitro Pro 40s with you, some meal replacements. Have that packet, whether you have a shaker with you and you're drinking that meal replacement in between the real foods on your 10-minute break that you squeeze out in the morning, you squeeze out in the early afternoon, then you got a couple more meals. So, and whether you mix that up in a pudding or you drink it as a shake, whatever it takes, 240 calories with that Nitro Pro 40 meal replacement in the early mid-morning, the mid-afternoon type of snack, now all of a sudden you have five meals. Okay, now you're on track. Okay.
Right.
So a little bit of preparation, a little bit of investment in the more convenient Nitro Pro 40 meal replacements, then you've got your five meals on track. And the other thing from a mental standpoint is to make sure you have a pen and paper, at least for the first month or two, and schedule your eating times. Don't leave
okay.
it up to chance. Eat that morning meal at the same time every day. Eat that evening meal at the same time every day. Schedule that mid-morning meal at the same time every day. Now, I know, like you said, that you're busy and you're going to be challenged with your eating times. But there's that old saying that you can't hit the bullseye unless you have a target.
Right.
Well, if you don't know that 10 o'clock is my time to have my Nitro Pro 40 meal replacement, okay, then it might be 11, it might be 9:30. So the other critical employment from a mental perspective is to make sure that those meals are scheduled. Do your best to handle them, but again, you can't hit the bullseye unless you have that target, okay?
Terrific.
All right. Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot. Well, we're going to be wrapping the show. That seemed to fly by really quickly. I enjoy your participation with the phone calls. Thank you very much from around the country. I know we have people listening from all over the world. You can join us in the chat room next time, or make a long-distance call. It'll be worth your time. Get some free consultations, all right? You can visit me at my website at skiplacour.com, S-K-I-P-L-A-C-O-U-R. We have our Manformation show on the same network, too. So I'd like you to join me there, too. And come back next week and join us here on the Skip LaCour Bodybuilding and Training Show. Thank you very much.
Love Talk Radio.